Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle, week number two of high school football, week number two of Inside the Huddle. We had some great games going on last night, including one where Clinton Central was able to get the victory 63-14 over Faith Christian, and now we're joined by head coach Jeremy Fenley and running back Amron Barrett. Guys, how are you doing today?
Good.
I'm hanging in there.
Well, Amron, you had a fantastic game yesterday, four first-half touchdowns. What did you see in the Faith Christian defense that was able to let you guys have so much success in the run game?
The outside. We definitely have a lot more speed, so we want to try and hit the outside as quick as possible. And even our line, the good thing about our line being young guys is they can hit the outside and block for us.
Well, they did block indeed and blocked your guys into nine touchdowns yesterday. So you guys were able to find the offensive rhythm after, you know, a slower start last week against Frankfurt. What do you think the difference was in the start? Because obviously they got that late touchdown in the first half last week against Frankfurt to get your second touchdown of the half. But this time you're able to, you know, really put the pedal to the metal in the first half and push that lead up. So what was the difference week to week in the start for your offense?
I think it was we definitely started out slow, and the coaches kind of got on us a little bit. We were a little overconfident for sure, but then we brought it back. We got it all together, and the linemen were extremely encouraging. So,
Coach, let's talk about that line play. What did you see from your offensive line? Because this is something we talked about in the summer. Is you guys graduated a whole bunch of linemen from last year's team, and so kind of fixing that lineup over the summer, and you've leaned on a couple of different big pieces in the middle. So what did you see from the offensive line yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you what I seen right away was 447 rushing yards, 528 total yards. I think you kind of glazed over just how impressive Amron's performance was yesterday. So he set two school records.
Wow.
So he scored 40 points, which the record was 36, so it stood for 20 years. And then he broke the school single touchdown record by scoring six touchdowns. The previous record was five by Keenan Orr.
Yeah, little Pat McAfee right there. Yeah,
so
good job,
you,
man.
You want to know what I noticed about the offensive line? The offensive output.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like there is no stat line that says this is how great your offensive line is until you look at the rushing yards, right? So we got 21 first downs compared to eight. Three penalties for 15 yards, which two of those were on defense, right? So, like, we just didn't make the mental mistakes. And we only have one senior lineman in Jordan Wolf. As I say every week, like, our boys just find a way to rise to the occasion and go out and chop wood, you know, like John Dill, Colin Mooneyhan, Braylon Kreider, Wolfie, Caleb Robinson at tight end, and Clay Snyder, like those guys hold it down up front for us. And like Amron said, you know, we have made an emphasis over the last 2 years to really build on our speed and size and strength. And, you know, again, yesterday, right after the game, complimented by the other team through testimonial, believe it or not, that like we beat the brakes off them. Mm-hmm. Physically, like we physically are now going out and just gang tackling, swarm blocking. So when anybody asks, like, what's the difference that I see in this year's team versus teams in the past, is like we are tired of being the hunted. Like we are going hunting. And make no mistake about it, it starts this week again. Like me and my coaches have been up, like we are preparing for Clinton Prairie. Like this is Army-Navy week. So I can't guarantee you a win, but I can guarantee you somebody's going to know they play Clinton Central next Friday.
There you go. That's what we like to hear.
One thing that I've always found interesting is just kind of the building process of a program and everything like that. Coach, you've always talked about the glory years and everything like that of Clinton Central, and I believe you've got alumni coming back throughout the week to practices and everything like that. kind of talk about that for just a little bit. You know, what have people said to you in terms of how the boys are playing? Obviously, I don't think a lot of people might have expected it. All those touchdowns, Mr. Barrett, but what have you been noticing so far just from your community and your alumni standpoint?
Well, I mean, our attendance keeps going up. Like, we had a great fan base. A lot of alumni were at the game last night, you know, just talking, reminiscing. It takes us back to where we expected to win instead of just, you know, playing not to lose. You know, like our boys now, like the expectations are we're going to win, irregardless. Now, do we win every game? Absolutely not. But like, by God, you better know we're going to try. And we're not going to have the mentality of, oh, here comes the other shoe. Like, I felt like our first year, like we would do some great things, but then the first thing that went wrong, it was just like a mental breakdown. Like, oh, well, there's the old Clinton Central. We're just gonna give up and roll over and show our belly, and we're not that way now, right? Like, we make mistakes, but like we come back and we recover from them. You know, like I said, we had one penalty last night, and then we turned right around and got like 27 yards on the next play, made it up. So a year ago, that would have been the Achilles heel. That would have been what brought us down. You know, from an alumni standpoint, like, I've gotten calls all week, right? Like, we got guys coming in. I've been talking to people. Like, we're excited that they're excited. We're excited that the community is excited. Like, I showed up last night, and the first thing I noticed in the parking lot is two green and white tents. Like, they were tailgating before we showed up. Like, they were ready to go. So that's always been a goal of mine and my staff's, is to bring back Friday night as a destination, a place where the community can come and fellowship and communicate and talk about the work week and enjoy some good, wholesome Friday night football.
And Ameren, for you being a senior, how exciting has it been for you to kind of go through the ups and the downs, the long hours, the important practices, and all of those drills that are always important, but yet in the moment might not feel as important? I know there's no pressure with your coach sitting right here, but talk about the journey for you from a player's standpoint.
I have definitely been through ups and downs, more downs than ups. Honest to God, it feels great. Like, our young group of guys, like, they may not be the best, but we know as the seniors that we're going to get everything out of them, because, you know, they may not be the strongest or the fastest, but they want it for us. So we're doing pretty well this time around.
You'll definitely take it. And with Clinton Prairie coming into the game, what are you kind of looking forward to the most in terms of schemes you can exploit? You know, give us a preview of the game plan, but not really the game plan. What can you tell us, what can you not tell us, and everything in between as far as looking forward to bringing that Corn Bowl trophy back to Michigan town?
I don't know about the Corn Bowl trophy, because that's come around way after my time. I'm not even worried about that trophy. I'm worried about the win. So I don't know from a scheme standpoint. This is what I could tell you. Prepare to lace them up. Like, I don't know what the X's and O's are going to be, but I know there's going to be some punches thrown. So it's going to be a good cornfield fight for sure. And I expect Coach Licker to have prayer. Like, I'm not taking anything away from those guys, but, like, I just hope they understand that it's not going to be the same Clinton Central team that they're used to, and I guarantee it.
Well, we're looking forward to covering it, Sam, aren't we?
Absolutely. Well, that'll have that game on HoosierlandTV.com as our Hoosierland TV game of the weekend. You talked last week about, you know, playing the style that Frankfurt played on their offense, where you really didn't have to call a lot defensively. You set the guys up, and they were in the right position the entire game. What was the difference last night, maybe against a team that ran a more traditional offense? How did your defense kind of react to that?
Well, again, like, we didn't do anything. I didn't call a single call, other than we had one coverage bust, right? So when you look at how they got their points, we had one coverage bust, right? And so they got over the top, and then we had one lackadaisical kickoff, and they were able to get a nice kickoff return to inside the five, right? So our defense is simple. See ball, get ball.
That's what I like to hear.
Like we tried to scheme it up and church it all up my first year, and then we tried to do it a little bit more my second year, and then just realized we have some pretty smart football players on our team. Like, let's just put it in their hands. Like, why are we constantly trying to control things from a sideline when we don't know the feel of the game? So we brought the defensive staff together. We pitched a couple ideas on how we could streamline the defense, pitched it to the seniors. Everybody was on board, put a lot of ownership on them. I mean, there was a point last night, not to get away from the defense, but Creed Menon called the entire offense for like two or three drives. Like, there wasn't a single call. Like, and that's what you want, right? So as a head coach, when you can articulate your why to the kids, like, this is why we want to run this offense, this is why we want to run this defense. Like, once they feel that, and then they feel that you trust them to operate within that why, like, then you see what happens. Score 9 touchdowns. You have 2 school records being broke. You know, you've got Creed feeling confident enough to where he can step up and just call the game. So I feel like, especially when you're talking small school football, sometimes we just try to control too much as a head coach. Sometimes it's just
coaches are control freaks.
Yeah,
I don't know what this is about. I'm crazy.
So yeah, I feel like we've embraced who we are, and now it's just time to go out and execute.
And Amron, I know it was great to get into the end zone for the first time, because it seemed like last week there was a couple of times they were trying to get the ball to you down near the goal line and just couldn't quite punch it in. So got that first touchdown to break through. But last week Creed talked a lot about what you bring to this team. What have you seen from Creed Menon growing up with him and seeing him grow as a football player? And what did you see from him yesterday?
He's definitely become a better blocker this time around.
By choice or by force?
Oh, he just figured it out.
Creed, you run in front of me. Anybody that tries to hit me, just take him out.
Hit the sideline. He has definitely developed so much over, I mean, I've been around him my whole life. So his decision-making is, it's so quick. And most of the time, he makes the right decision. So he's definitely smart one to have out there.
I think we have a caller on line one. No, we're good. He's not calling in just yet. Is he working out right now? Is he sleeping? Is he listening in? What do you think he's doing right now?
We got film.
You got film?
Yep.
Well, I'm guessing if they've taken my words to heart last night, that we woke up this morning, we enjoyed the victory till we woke up this morning, and it's all business. So, and the thing about Creed and Amron and these guys, you know, that when you have a team that has gone through multiple coaches, multiple culture changes, you know, it takes time to build trust between staffs and players. And I think that Coach Douglas has done a great job relating to the players. We've done a great job. And so we just try to continue to develop that trust on both sides of the ball with the players. So when we get in situations, they know they can count on us to make the right calls, and we can count on them to execute. So that's like just part of the biggest thing, is we're in a good place for trust. So,
well, you guys have a big game coming up next Friday against Clinton Prairie. It is the Hoosierland TV Game of the Week, so we will be there with full coverage of that game. We'll be talking about it throughout the week. Congratulations on the win, and good luck next week. We appreciate you guys coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys.
Hey, thank you guys.
That is head coach Jeremy Fenley and running back Amron Barrett. He set a couple of school records last night with his offensive performance, 6 touchdowns, and we'll be talking quite a lot more about that over the next week. Thanks, guys, for coming in. We'll take a short break. Be right back on Inside the Huddle.
You know, at Winsky Brothers, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take our customers seriously. Whether you're hauling scrap metal, shopping for new or used steel, or need one of our roll-off waste containers, we're here to help. Sure, we're kind of famous for that giant 70-foot truck scale, but what really matters is you, our community. I'm Jim Byers, and we're grateful for your trust, your business, and even your jokes when you stop by. From all of us at Winsky Brothers, thank you. Find us at 751 West Washington Street or online at winskybrothers.com.
Every Tuesday and Thursday morning, right after Party Line, WILO and Boone 102.7 bring you a moment of pure positivity. It's the pet of the day. In partnership with the Clinton County Humane Society, we shine the spotlight on adoptable dogs and cats just waiting to meet their new best friend. Maybe that's you. You'll hear their names, their stories, and what makes each one special. Whether they're playful pups, curious kittens, or wise old souls, these shelter residents are ready for a forever home. So tune in, fall in love, and help spread the word. Because sometimes, the right tail wag or gentle purr is just a broadcast away. That's Pet of the Day, every Tuesday and Thursday. Only on WILO and Boone 102.7, where every animal has their moment to shine. Brought to you by Wampler Services Incorporated, Encompass Credit Union, Travelers Point Distillery, Aaron's Flooring, and Blue Fox Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Proud supporter of Second Chances and Furry Friends.
The NTP IndyCar Series is back on track.
Herta surrenders the second spot on track. He's going to go from red to reds. It's a new set of softer compound tires.
Guys, we got a car up against the outside wall. It is Marcus Ericsson who is having a fantastic day.
Newgarden, his final stop of the day. Boy, it was a monster. 5.7 seconds.
Listen to the NTT IndyCar Series at Nashville Super Speedway live this Sunday.
Coverage begins at 2 p.m. on AM 1570, 96.9 FM, WILO, and Boone 102.7. WILO is proud to partner with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network to bring you all of the excitement of IndyCar racing at IMS on WILO. Brought to you in part by Big O Tire, City of Frankfort Community Development, Encompass Credit Union, Shoop's Country Foods, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, Esserman Best One Tire and Auto, Wampler's Services Incorporated, the City of Frankfort Parks Department, Jerry's Body Shop, TC Trailers, Martin Brothers TV and Appliances, and Tier 1 Meat Company.
Back now on Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington. Remember, you can watch Inside the Huddle now on HoosierLandTV.com. And we can't go any further without thanking our sponsor for Inside the Huddle. We're sponsored by Winsky Brothers. Thank you to Winsky Brothers for bringing you this show every Saturday morning. Let's get to our next guest. And our next guest is Carroll head coach Blake Betzner. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
We are doing well.
Fantastic.
Coach, you ran into a really tough Mequonakwa squad last night, and you stuck with them for a lot of that first half. They pulled away by three touchdowns in that third quarter, but you got back into the game, scored another touchdown. What did you see from your squad yesterday against Mequonakwa?
Well, you know, we put this game on the schedule because we wanted to kind of have a measuring stick of where we were at early in the season, and after last night, we're really pleased. We know we went head to head with, you know, one of the top 3-4 teams in 3A football last night. And I thought first quarter we played really, really well, did a lot of really good things. We had two turnovers in the first quarter. And I think if we don't have those two turnovers, we're probably up 14-0 in the first quarter. They're having trouble moving the ball. I thought we had a good plan for them. So I thought, you know, first quarter we played really well. So with they scored. We scored with about a minute left to go in the half to go up 14-13. And, you know, we played some prevent defense. They broke some tackles. And they scored with 30 seconds left to go into halftime. So the score, you know, at halftime, you know, being down a score, it was just a great first half, back and forth. And then, you know, in the second half they got the ball first, they scored, and then it was kind of back and forth. But we had a trick play. We were down 35-21, and we threw a double, and there was no one there, and we just couldn't get it off. I mean, if we'd have been successful, it would have been a 35-28 game with about 6 minutes left, and it would have been, I mean, so the score is a little bit different than what the game actually looked like. But that's why I told the guys last night when we got home. We found out who we were, and I didn't know how good we were or what we were going to be like this year until after last night's game. And now I feel like we got a pretty good group of guys that are going to work and they're going to play hard. And so we're really excited about where we're at right now.
What did you see from your quarterback, Cale Peters, going into an environment like that, a really good 3A team and a good defense, and it seemed like he was able to make some really nice plays throughout that game?
Yeah, Cale's a good, really good player. You know, and this is what people don't understand. You know, like, you know, Cale Peters, you know, the Peters name around our community is a lot of really, really good athletes. This is only his second game at starting quarterback. So he's still learning the position, but he runs hard. When he gets his passing game going, I think he'll be another dimension. But you know, it's just a process. When we build these guys up and we develop them, he's just starting his development. And by week 7 or 8, I feel like he's going to have be a little bit better than he even is now. But he did a lot of really nice things for us.
One thing in particular is putting a kid out there when it's relatively their first or second time with varsity experience. How do you maintain the positive when you're in the trenches, you're wanting to win a game and everything like that, especially with some of the opponents you got coming up in the next couple of weeks, big rivalry games? How difficult is it to maintain the positive, not just yourself as a coach, but also among the players too? Because, you can make it all sunshiny and rainbow as much as you want, but ultimately sometimes the truth kind of wins out. How do you maintain that balance?
Oh yeah, no, I think the kids, I had one of them say, one of the offensive line guys said, hey, can we meet Monday before practice to go over the offensive line stuff? So I think you kind of refocus them, and we got a lot of young kids playing. They've had to grow up very, very fast, and so that's the great thing about our team, I believe, is they're coachable. I mean, they know if they do something wrong, they're going to hear about it and they need to fix it, or they can't play. So they understand that, and I think that's the good part about our group of kids we have. They want to get better. They want to continue to work. And it wasn't all pretty last night for sure, but it was a good opportunity for those guys to get in there in the mix and play. We started 3 sophomores that played about 4 yards from the ball all night, and they played really, really well, and I'm really proud of them. But, they got a lot of growing up to do still.
And we talked throughout most of the preseason coverage and everything like that about trying to maintain the chip on the shoulder. Is the chip just as big? Has it increased? Has it diminished? Kind of describe that a little bit, because to me, I think that's one of the great things of motivation with both coaches and players, is just maintaining that that tenacity and that want to do better, and kind of us against the world type feeling.
Yeah, losing's not always bad, and I got to tell myself that last night a lot. Losing's not always a bad thing, and I think it does. It grows. Like, hey, we don't want to feel like this again. I heard a couple of guys saying, soak it in. Understand. Young guys know what this feels like. This is not enjoyable, losing games and doing those things. So yeah, I think there is. I think they understand that. They want to continue to get better every week, and it's a process. Where you are week one, if you're the same you are week 8 or 9, then you haven't fulfilled what you need to do. So it's just a process of getting better each and every week and getting the guys to play better. And again, we only have 5 seniors, so a lot of those young guys are going to really have to develop in the next few weeks.
Well, and I think that's one thing that is especially great, as you've got the players starting to coach each other. Because I remember in some of our conversations last year, it was kind of like, you got leaders and you've got guys who are top on the team, but you're really looking for that kind of emotional lift as well. Have you noticed a growth in the seniors this year as compared to them last year as juniors?
Absolutely. All 5 of our seniors are great leaders. They don't put their heads down. They don't pout. They don't whine. We didn't play 2 of our seniors defensive linemen much. They start on our offensive line. They're really, really good on our offensive line side. And I said, with what Conical does, they're going to throw it out and you're going to be running the whole time. I want you to focus on offense, move the ball. And, they could have pouted the whole night. They could have, been frustrated the whole night. They weren't. They were cheering and they were doing what they needed to do. And then at the end of the game, we got them in some, play some defense just because we need some big stops. But that's the kind of growing up they do. We talk about we call it family, and it's forget about me, I love you. And it's one of those things, just this idea of, you know, to be successful in football, if it's an individual sport, you're not going to be as successful as you want to be. So we got to all come together and just forget about what we want and make sure the team is taken care of. And if we do that, then by the end of the year, I think we can have a lot of success.
And you guys start Hoosier Heartland Conference play next week with a big matchup against Taylor. You got a handful of really strong opponents early in Hoosier Heartland Conference play, and it starts next week with Taylor, who comes in 2-0. And of course, the Titans had a great turnaround at the end of last season to end up winning a sectional championship. What are you looking forward to in that game?
Well, I think the Hoosier Heartland really good this year. I think there's a lot of talent in the Hoosier Heartland. So you start looking at every game, you're like, man, you know, they're all good. So I think that, you know, we take each one of them kind of the same. But yeah, Taylor's in our sectional. They won the sectional last year. They've been putting up huge points. I don't have film yet on them, so I'm hoping to get that here pretty soon to start diving into them. But you know, I know they got a really good quarterback, good running backs, good receivers. I know they'll stress our defense out, and you know, that we struggled moving the ball against them last year. And I know Pioneer obviously didn't move the ball against them last year in the sectional finals. So, yeah, they've came a long way, and they're doing a lot of really, really good things. So that'll be a fun night for our both schools, big crowds, and hopefully get our whole student section out there and just do what Friday night football should be like, just a nice community atmosphere and with a great football game.
And for you guys, it will be your home opener. So, and with the change to the schedule, Tri-Central moving to a JV schedule, you guys only have 3 home games on the schedule this year. Are you guys looking to add another game potentially, or what are you looking like with that schedule?
Yeah, we've talked to some Michigan schools. We're in the process of hopefully getting somebody to play. But, you know, you never know what you get into at that point. But I told our AD, I just want to play. You know, I just want to give those kids another opportunity and give them another experience to go out there on a Friday night. There's not many of them. You know, those seniors, you don't get many Friday nights. So we're trying to get as many of them as we can to make sure, you know, they don't miss anything on their, you know, their experiences. But, yeah, it's just kind of a bad situation with how football works. If there's no openings, you know, schools aren't going to drive 4 hours to come play you. So that's just kind of the scenario we're in.
Well, talk about the home opener a little bit and getting a chance to play in front of the home crowd for the first time, and I'm sure that will be a great night for not only the seniors but the young kids to get a chance to, you know, play Friday night football in front of their families, their friends, and everybody in between.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I was at McConaughey last night, and I don't know if you've ever been to McConaughey, but they got stands from the 20 to the 20, and it was completely full. And our stands was completely full. So I'm really excited to see what it's going to look like at a home opener. So I know the community will come out. That we get so much support from this community. And, you know, win or lose, for the community, they just support our kids. And it's a lot of fun to watch. They'll have tailgating. They've really turned it into something, a really good experience on a Friday night. So, yeah, it's nothing better than being at home. So we're excited, and we're excited to have Taylor come up and see what happens.
Well, we will look forward to hearing from you next week after that game against Taylor. We look forward to being there on September 12th with your matchup against Delphi. Coach, thanks for calling in today.
Yep, thank you, guys.
That's head coach Blake Betzner with the Carroll Cougars. They fell to McConaughey last night, 41-21, moved to 1-1, and they'll be matching up with the Taylor Titans next Friday night. We'll be right back. Quarter number 3 of Inside the Huddle is coming up.
Did you know the Man of Steel works in Frankfurt?
Superman?
No, Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers. Winsky's is famous for their new and used steel sales and scrap metal processing. They also offer roll-off waste removal, and now they're continuing their improvements with new computer software to have you in and out faster than Superman can fly.
Faster than Superman?
See for yourself at 751 West Washington Street or visit WinskyBrothers.com.
Winsky Brothers, the superheroes of steel.
Big deals. These days, we all want our money to go just a little bit further. We also want to support local businesses. When you visit the Big Deals online store, you can do both. Shop anytime. The store is always open and loaded with great deals. Buy discounted gift certificates to local businesses and spend them just like cash. Visit online or download the Big Deals app to shop right from your phone. Shop local, buy local with Big Deals.
The news team you depend on has expanded our news coverage area online. Log on to the new BooneCountyDailyNews.com. Find the latest from Lebanon, Zionsville, and all throughout Boone County. BooneCountyDailyNews.com for the latest weather, sports, and news information with WILO.
Ag News, the Farmer Forum, the free-for-all, and a lot more. Hi, everyone. I'm AgriTalk host Chip Flory. Join me each weekday morning at 11 right here on WILO for a conversation dedicated to rural America and agriculture. AgriTalk brings you the news, information, and perspectives you need to get to the meat of the issues that matter the most to your farm. Join me for AgriTalk weekdays at 11 on your Ag Leader in North Central Indiana, WILO.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
Today it's going to be sunny with a high of 74. Tonight mostly clear with a low of 51. Sunday sunny and a high of 76. Your Labor Day forecast sunny and a high of 77. Tuesday starting the work week with mostly sunny skies and a high of 78. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. News and weather updates 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and Carroll County DailyNews.com.
Back now, quarter number three of Inside the Huddle. Inside the Huddle available to watch now on HoosierLandTV.com. If you miss any part of today's episode, you can go back and watch it on there, or you can go back and listen on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just click on the local sports tab, then click Inside the Huddle. All the latest episodes are there for your watching, or you can also listen on Spotify now, Inside the Huddle and Casper Media. We'll send that out after the show finishes, and you can listen tomorrow night for the Inside the Huddle replay, 7 o'clock Sunday's Inside the Huddle replay. And we're now joined here in quarter number three by Frankfort head coach Justin Kinsey. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. It was a rough outing for your squad last night, losing to Clinton Prairie 50-0. What did you see from that game? What did you see from your team?
Yeah, you know, obviously it's a big rebuild. It's going to take a little bit of time. I really like the way the team is developing. I know our week one game we gave up a lot of possessions with some bad ball handling. We spotted them. I forget, it had to have been 45 yards of penalties, and it was all just offensive procedural stuff. We cleaned up the turnover battle, had a couple of picks through the air, but I mean we were obviously trying to get something moving, so I'm not too upset about that. We really, you know, cleaned up the mistakes, cleaned up the penalties. So, I mean, obviously, you know, losing 50-0 is never easy, but there's definitely some positives. You can see we're moving in the right direction. You know, and the guys are, you know, the guys' spirits are high. They understand too. The guys on the team know it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a project through the season as we go week to week. We're just playing this whole season one possession at a time, one play at a time. We're not worried about scoreboards. We're just, you know, looking at fixing every drive, every possession that we can.
And a big change for you guys this year is the offensive scheme, going from the I formation to kind of the wing T flex bone offense that you guys are running now. What have you seen in terms of growth from, you know, beginning of the preseason and the install and to where you guys are at now?
Yeah, and I think, you know, like so many other teams, you know, we have, you know, a good 25 to 30 kids who are there all summer long working. And then as soon as August rolls around and the season officially starts, you get another 10 or 15 guys. And a lot of those guys, you know, we're just in the process of getting those guys ready. There's a couple of varsity players that are currently playing JV just because we have to get them up to speed. Cause it's a learning curve. You know, it's not, you know, the flex bone side of it, especially, we have a lot of wing T elements, but I mean, just getting the motions correct, getting the cadences correct, making sure our blocking assignments, you know, knowing who to block, who not to block, who to read, you know, it's definitely a learning curve. I think the guys are catching on, but I mean, it's going to take some time to kind of get used to it. Usually the first season as a flex bone team is always pretty sloppy. I know even, you know, Bart Curtis at Warsaw always teaches that. He has a video up on the Glacier Drive where he talks all about, you know, the first season's going to be ugly, or it's going to be ugly as advertised, and it's been ugly as advertised, but, you know, it is, you know, getting used to the new system is something that's, you know, you can tell it's working. It's just going up against a stout defense like Clinton Prairie makes it really, really difficult. So we'll, you know, hats off to them. They really disrupted us. They got a lot of penetration up front, and you know, it's hard to execute when you got two, three guys in your backfield. So it doesn't matter what system you run.
Ugly as advertised. I think I've got some former blind dates that would definitely say that about me. Definitely.
Oh, man.
But I'm sorry. I had to. All right. But One thing in particular, kind of describe how the kids have really adjusted, because I think that's one thing that we oftentimes we think about, but at the same time, it's an adjustment period, just not only getting to know you, but getting to know your family, especially with you being in the school building. So kind of describe that overall process that these gentlemen have gone through.
Yeah, and I think, you know, their relationships have been great. I mean, these guys are an absolute blast. You know, and I know even, you know, with college football starting this season, it's cool. You know, we're on huddle messaging each other about the games that are on TV. So it is really cool to see these guys, you know, warming up and accepting me. And I think that, you know, I'm a super positive guy. You know, obviously I'm a football coach, so there's going to be a time for yelling, but right now is not that time. You know, we've got a lot of, you know, a lot of the bad habits that these guys have. It isn't necessarily their fault. It's just going to take time to uncoach that. You know, it really has been watching the progression and watching the way that these guys have picked up the offense. And I think one of the things about this specific system that kind of is one of those, like the soft skills that people don't talk about, is in this system, you know, you have to block for your brothers in order for you to get the rock. You know, it matters what that fullback is doing when he doesn't have the ball. You need to get tackled. You need to have linebackers biting on you so that the other part of the play works. And it's also, you know, not just here's the play, run it, here's how it's drawn up on paper. It's the idea of understanding, you know, you're teaching these guys who's the force player, you know, making sure we understand the difference between, you know, a scraping backer versus a spill backer. And I think it's, you know, just the way that it's going to slowly pay dividends with these young men getting better football IQs. It's going to make them better defenders. You know, these JV guys, I mean, you know, we're putting in our JV defense in an auxiliary gym 15 minutes before we get on a bus and go to a JV game. And, you know, win or lose, what's going to happen today is these guys are going to get better at football. They're going to understand things better. It is definitely, it's a system that I recommend all young coaches, like, you know, obviously, hey, the air raid and the spread is great, but you guys got to crack open a Paul Johnson playbook, because you're going to learn a lot of the stuff that the NFL and college do today is based on the old, you know, Paul Johnson and, you know, the split back veer from Houston. There's a lot of really good sound football in there, and the guys are learning the game, which I think is really cool to see.
I had a great coach tell me, just watch a game and don't watch the commercials. Don't watch all of the bells and whistles. Don't even pay attention to Taylor Swift being shown all the time and everything like that. I'm going to watch IU today. Sam is going to watch Notre Dame. Who are you telling your kids to watch, and who are you cheering for today? Because we got to get that on the table too.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, I still maintain a residence in South Bend, so I'm a big Notre Dame guy, so I'll always cheer for the Irish.
See, I made up for it there, Sam. go ahead,
yeah,
coach.
So I'm a big Irish fan. I got my family's Roman Catholic. I got the Mary medallion on and everything, so obviously always going to root for Notre Dame. And I think, too, that just, again, running this system, I always tell my guys, you know, you got to watch Army and Navy, because people forget, you know, Army and Navy win football games with a roster full of kids that none of the other Division I schools wanted or recruited. If that kid had a full ride offer to Virginia, he'd have gone to Virginia. If that kid had a full ride offer to go to Syracuse, he'd have gone to Syracuse. You know, the Navy, they can't put 6'8", 350-pound guys in a phantom fighter, you know, so they can't recruit those kids. And so we always tell the guys, you know, definitely pay attention to those teams that either run the true option or have option elements. And there's a lot of them out there. You know, I mean, even I know Coastal Carolina runs a lot of that, you know, kind of the pistol option stuff. We always tell the guys, you know, watch the teams that are running the option and option elements. And I mean, even the RPO game, it's basically the option. It's just instead of pitching off of that number two, you know, you have that outside backer that you're going to throw off of based on where he's at. You know, that conflict player is no different than us having a one and a two in the option count. So, you know, but yeah, we're going to watch the academy teams and see, you know, how these guys. I still remember a couple years ago when they had Kyler Murray at Oklahoma and Army took them into overtime, and, you know, all they did was shorten the game, and, you know, they drug them into the mud and they forced Oklahoma to play Army football and dang near came out with a win. So that's what this offense can do when it works right.
And that kind of offense, it puts some pressure on the quarterback to make the right read. What have you seen from your quarterbacks? You played with a couple last week, Kiefer Dooley and Dennis Barkley. What have you seen from them in terms of their growth?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, we lost Dooley early in the game against Clinton Central. He is good. He's cleared. We just, you know, we had to make an executive decision. He was cleared on Friday, and we decided not to play him last night just because we're like, listen, we got a long season ahead of us. You know, I got a... I want him healthy, and I want him to be able to be quarterback for us as we get into our MAC conference play. But then Dennis Barkley, I mean, Dennis Barkley, you know, was the guy at the reins for the majority of last season. He's a really, really talented football player. He's a really strong runner. He's got really good composure. And, I mean, I think I've been really impressed with both of those guys. We have some young guys coming up, too, that, you know, obviously not quite varsity ready yet, but where you're going to use the JV to get those guys ready. But, I mean, in this system, unfortunately, you know, yeah, sometimes your quarterbacks take a couple hits, so we got to have a couple guys ready to go. And then even on the positive side, you know, you could have, you know, Kiefer Dooley could break a 70-yard touchdown run, get shoved out of bounds at the 10, and I got to send Dennis in because, you know, Kiefer's gassed after a 70-yard run. So being able to rotate bodies and just have the system be interchangeable, in theory, we're not there yet, but in theory, I should be able to take any A-back, any fullback, plug them in, and the system should work. That's what we're at now, is we're just trying to get all of the players up to that same level. And it's gonna take some time. You know, it's the first year we've been doing this. A lot of these kids, you know, have only been here since August. You know, we went to that triple option camp over the summer with you know, the staff at Warsaw, and we were practicing up there with, you know, Manchester and all those other guys. But, you know, we only had 24 guys at that thing, so there's a lot of guys that didn't get that experience. So it's trying to get all those guys up to speed is definitely going to be the big part of our season.
And before we start to talk about MAC conference play, I wanted to talk a little bit about the youth, the programs, and the JV, the middle school. What have you seen from them, and trying to, you know, ignite that and build those programs up as well? What have you seen from your younger squads?
Yeah, so, I mean, first and foremost, Coach Colton Martin is doing a phenomenal job at our middle school. We have a huge group of eighth graders coming up, which I'm super excited about. They're 2-0, and it's, I mean, and they're 2-0, but they were two dogfights. So these are kids that, it's one thing, obviously, you know, it's great. I love, you know, blowout wins are a nice thing, but these guys have been in two dogfights with Clinton Central and with Crawfordsville last week, and they came out on top both times. So these are going to be eighth graders who are coming up. They're running our system. So when I ask them to run zone dive, they're going to be like, all right, guys, yep, we know it. You know, so Coach Martin's doing a great job making sure that those guys know the plays that they're going to be running at the high school level. Even last night, a couple of the guys were at the game, and they're coming up excited, like, I can't wait to play for you next year, Coach. So, you know, obviously that's been a big – having that youth is definitely going to be huge. The JV, again, like right now, most of our JV, like I'm telling you, there's – four or five of those guys that will be playing on Friday by week six or week seven. It's just, we got to get them, you know, we got to develop them. We got to get them ready. We got to get them so that they're, you know, they have those basic skills so I can put them out on a Friday night. And I keep telling the guys too, you know, especially on Saturdays, you know, I tell them all the time, nobody's going to open the paper and see the score of a JV game. Nobody's going to see your highlights and lowlights on TV. You're just out here to have fun, learn the game, make mistakes at 100 miles an hour, and, you know, we got to find where we can put people. Right now I got a kid who's a corner that I might need to move to D-end. I might have a D-end that's got to move to A-back. That's what Saturdays are for, and I think that the JV, the positivity that those young guys have had has been a lot of fun.
And that's where you're going right after this game is some youth football over at Clinton Prairie. You guys start the MAC play next week with Greencastle and another home game, and we talked earlier this year, and you're really excited for this MACtion and the MAC play. What are you looking forward to in that game and as you get into conference play?
Yeah, I mean, I really think, you know, low-key, I know it's the first year the MAC has been around, but I think just looking at the past couple of years, you know, I think that this is going to be a really fun football conference. This is going to be a really, really high-quality, small-school football conference. I mean, obviously, we're a 4A school, so we're the big school in the conference. But I think that people in the area are going to have a lot of fun watching this football. There's a lot of really stout football programs. You know, Cascade, Weibo, North Putt. I mean, there's some really, really solid football programs in this conference. And I think it's going to be fun just because it is, you know, after so many years in the Sagamore Conference, you know, and some of those programs, you know, the Lebanon, the Tri-West, the Danville, just, man, you know, our guys, I think about it coming up from Northern Indiana. We were always in the NIC, and I know, you know, being an assistant coach in South Bend schools, you know, we always had Penn looming mm-hmm. ahead on the conference schedule. And I mean, there's one year I was coaching for, I was an assistant coach under Elmer Britton, who's in the Hall of Fame. He was the head coach there. And you know, we played Penn 2 weeks back to back. We played them week nine, and then we had them again in sectional, and it was like a 13-7 game. We took Penn all the way to the wire, and dang near got them. And then the next week we play them again in sectional, and we had like 10 kids that didn't show mm-hmm. up. They were already at basketball practice. We ended up getting beat by 50, and it's like, guys, we were just in a dogfight. How does that not excite you? And I think that in the Sagamore that there might have been some times that some of our teams, you know, you see the Lebanon, you know, looming in the future, and it's really hard to kind of look past that. So I think that this new conference is definitely going to be a great competitive balance. Obviously, you know, we've got a lot of catching up to do, but I think just for all the teams in the conference, I think this is going to be a really, really fun conference to watch.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. We look forward to continuing to talk with your guys and seeing the growth from your team this season. That's head coach Justin Kinsey with the Frankfort Hot Dogs. Coach, thanks for coming on.
I appreciate you guys. Go Hot Dogs.
There we go. Head coach Justin Kinsey with the Frankfort Hot Dogs. We'll be right back with quarter number four of Inside the Huddle. It's coming up in just a minute.
Doesn't matter. Hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
WILO, a friend you can depend on.
Thanks to WILO for being out here. I think it's been great for Party Line, for the fair to be highlighted on Party Line so people understand, you know, our mission, our goals out here at the fairground.
Keeping you connected to our community.
The radio station, we could not do this without all of you guys.
The radio station you've trusted through the years.
Congratulate you guys on a great senior fair. Thank you for all the hard work that everybody put into that to make that happen.
Las decisiones determinan los resultados. Entonces, ¿qué camino decido tomar? ¿Quedarme al margen mirando o ayudar a las personas necesitadas? ¿Le preocupa cómo pagar la escuela o cómo pagar la educación? Mi decisión es servir a tiempo parcial en la Guardia Nacional del Ejército y mis resultados cambiarán mi vida. ¿Qué decidirá? Ingrese a NationalGuard.com para obtener más información sobre el servicio a tiempo parcial.
Patrocinado por la Guardia Nacional del Ejército de Estados Unidos.
This is your WILO Fun Fair and Festival Guide, a look at upcoming fun family activities and community events.
Grab your team of four and swing into action at the Warbird Golf Classic, Friday, September 12th at Logansport Golf Club. Lunch at 12, tee off at 1, plus contests and prizes. Register now at events at GrissomAirMuseum.com. Cruise on in to Flora Depot Day, Saturday the 27th from 11 to 3 at 104 West Main Street in Flora, Indiana. Enjoy the cruise-in, cornhole tournament, cutest little tot contest, kids zone, food, and lots of fun. And don't forget to bring your own shade.
That's a look at your upcoming fun family activities and community events from WILO. Find more information about what's going on around town by going to ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Back now on Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington. Remember, Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Winsky Brothers. You can listen to Inside the Huddle like you're doing right now on WILO 96.9, 1570 AM and Boone 102.7 FM. You can watch online on HoosierLandTV.com. You can listen online via the WILO app or ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. And you can do all those things to re-watch or re-listen to the show if you missed any part of it. We caught up with Clinton Central's Jeremy Fenley and Amron Barrett. Earlier today, we talked to Blake Betzner from Carroll after their loss to Mequonakwa, and we just talked with head coach Justin Kinsey. And now on the line, we have Clinton Prairie head coach Kurt Schlicker. Coach, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. Can you hear me?
We can hear you great. Coach, it felt great to get the first win of the season, get the monkey off your back, and you guys played really well yesterday against Frankfort.
Well, thank you. Yeah, obviously, you know, you go into a season and, you know, you're always questioning, you know, are we going to win any games or, you know, what game can we win? And so to go on the road and get a win last night obviously was a great thing for our team. All the credit goes to our players and our assistant coaches. You know, I thought, you know, we were able to get the ball moving on the ground early in the game, and that helps, right? When you get your ground game going, that helps open up your paths, and then obviously our defense held up pretty well last night.
And it must have felt huge to have Hunter Cooper back in the mix, and he had a great game as well, got a couple of touchdowns. What was it like from him to see him back out there and get the running game going?
Well, you know, Hunter is a kid that's worked really hard for us, and we knew this summer that he, you know, was going to be a good running back for us. So obviously we missed him last week. But I give our offensive line a lot of credit last night. Those holes were you know, watching the film, you know, there's a lot of space there. He obviously runs hard. So I think it was a combination of his running, but really more so I thought our offensive line was able to create those holes last night. And a lot of credit goes to those kids. Our offensive line, of center Brody Atkins, he's the senior, I thought played very well last night. Our two guards, Andrew Thatcher, is a senior, and Jackson Wells did a nice job. And then our tackles, Hayden Patton, who's a junior, and a freshman, Andrew King, I thought really did a nice job of moving people. And our H-back, Alex King, also did a very nice job of blocking last night.
One thing, Coach, that I've always wanted to ask you about is when dealing with the Labor Day weekend, how does that change the overall look of the week? Do things pretty much stay the same? Do you kind of vary your schedules a little bit, especially in terms of possible film sessions on the weekends, practices, everything like that? Kind of talk about how you guys vary the schedule a little bit, and more importantly, how you kind of change it around in order to get ready for a big game that we're going to cover on Hoosierland TV against Clinton Central.
Well, you know, I've been around for a while, and I've had a lot of head coaches do different things. So we're going to practice on Monday morning. We'll start at 8 o'clock, just like a normal school day. And you know, my theory behind that is the kids are used to getting up, and you know, we're done by mid morning, and they can have the rest of the day to themselves. I've had other coaches who wanted to practice at night. You know, it's a sacrifice to play sports. So it is a holiday weekend, right? But if you're a football player, right, you should expect to practice on Labor Day. I mean, that's just what you do. You know, I always say if you're, you know, we'll play a football game on fall break, right? So, you know, you can say, well, they want to go on vacation, they want the weekend, but, you know, it's a commitment. And, you know, our boys are making that commitment. So, you know, for us, you know, we have film this morning. You know, sometimes it's harder on the coaches sometimes than the players, right? Because, well, it is, because it kind of changes your schedule. And, you know, you've got a day off on Monday, too. And so
right.
You're trying to plan. And, you know, obviously Central has an excellent team. They're dynamic on offense. They're fast on defense. A lot of experience. They're well coached. So we know that this is going to be a big challenge this week. We've got to go there. You know, it was a really close game last year. So, you know, there's a lot of work that has to go in just from the coaching staff point of view this week, just to kind of get prepared. But, you know, that's what football coaching is, right? You're excited for about a half hour, and then you get on the bus last night and you realize, okay, this week's over and time to move on. And that's just kind of the way it goes. And it'll be that way, you know, no matter when you play. Even last week, right, you lose. But you're right, you got to kind of start looking ahead. Obviously, you watch the film of yourself, and you know, last night, you know, we did some really good things, but there were some things that we were not happy with as well. So we certainly have some areas to improve on.
Well, let's talk a little bit about last night's game and strong performances all around. A couple of touchdowns for Kai Jacobs, a couple of touchdowns for Braden Jarbo, a couple of touchdowns for Hunter Cooper. So you talked about some of the things that you want to clean up. What were a couple of those things, and how can you improve going into next week?
Well, you know, I think that anytime, you know, I've always said it pretty hard on quarterbacks at times. So I thought a couple times the read was wrong. But it's so hard to play quarterback. I mean, people – you know, hey, that guy's wide open. Well, you don't know what the particular read really was. And maybe the quarterback was instructed to throw it to a certain place. So I thought our quarterbacks, Brady Allen and Gage Kuzmich, have been playing very well for us. You know, the key last night, we didn't turn the ball over. You know, in the first week, the turnovers were really huge. And, you know, we really emphasized that in practice this week. And we were able to win that turnover battle last night. And, you know, sometimes you commit to it in practice, sometimes it works out. And, you know, we did that last week, really harped on it, and we did some drills, not only to protect the ball, but to also, you know, go get the ball. Other things, you know, sometimes our defense is still not where we want it to be. Obviously, we got the shutout last night. You know, our tackling could be a little bit better in places. We misaligned a few times. Our eyes tend to vary sometimes to where they should be, or but that's just part of getting better, right? I'm lucky enough to have some really experienced coaches here on staff. You know, you combine the years of Sean Wines and Tom Potts and Lance Pickrell and just the guys that we have, Troy Clark and Jay Slay. I mean, there's a lot of years of experience. So there's been a lot of film watched over the years, and those guys do a great job of picking up on little things that we can improve on. And I think that's just in general. You know, our special teams were better last night, but they're going to need to be better, right? There's three phases to every football game, and then people tend to forget that that special teams phase. And obviously in the first game we gave up that kickoff return was a huge play, humongous play in that game. So we were better last night, but I still think we need to take a look at those teams and see what we can get better across the board in terms of personnel.
And I'm sure that's a big conversation heading into this week against Clinton Central, who's looked really good in their first two games. So obviously a county rivalry, a big game for you guys, the Corn Bowl. So what are you looking at going into this week's game? How are you guys preparing for Clinton Central?
Well, anytime you play a team that has dynamic players, and Central certainly does, right, you're trying to limit the big plays. You know, you give up the home run, so to speak, in football, and that's 6 points right now. So, you know, obviously we've got to be able to be sound and be in good position, and hopefully our guys will, you know, be able to tackle in space, because we're going to have to be able to do that. You know, the rivalry itself, I always say the county games should be, they should be close. And, you know, and I don't mean any disrespect to Frankfurt by saying that, based on their scores. You know, Frankfurt's going to improve. They've got some good players, and, you know, I like what Coach is doing there. But anyway, back to Central, you know, it's going to be a really good game Friday night. I know our boys will be ready. I'm sure they're going to be fired up, but they should be, right? That's what this is all about. And, I think it'll be a fun environment. I hope the crowd is humongous, and, it'll come down to big plays, right? It's going to come down to the team that makes the fewest mistakes, executes the best, and doesn't give up the big play and tackles the best. You know, simple stuff in football, but that's usually what wins games.
And you guys were able to win the county last year, and obviously that's a goal going into the season, is to, you know, win the teams around you, win the county games. And how much do you put into that? Because it's not like you're going to, you know, get little wooden Indianas and hang it for winning a couple of county games, but it is really important to win these rivalry games. So what do you talk about with your players when talking about these types of games?
Well, you know, obviously it is, you know, it matters. The county matters. And people say, well, but it does matter, right? It's also a conference game for us, and Central's also a potential sectional opponent. So there's all kinds of things wrapped up into this game Friday night. You know, and you try to keep it simple as a coach. You know, you start thinking about all those different things. You can clutter your brain. It's, you know, it's going to be a football game. If we win it, then we'll be county champs. But if we lose it, then we'll have to come back in on Saturday morning and see where we are to get better. And I know that's a simple thing, but, you know, it'll matter if you win. I think it's always special for the seniors, right? When you can win the county your senior year, that gives you a little bragging rights for the rest of your life. That's kind of the way I feel about it. So, you know, next Friday night, the bragging rights will go to the seniors. The underclassmen are going to have to play it again next year. The seniors, this is their last chance to win it. So it'll be a big night for our senior class next Friday.
And one thing I wanted to bring up real quick is because of Tri-Central moving their season to a JV-only season, you guys do have an open week coming up after Clinton Central. Have you talked about that as coaches on whether you're going to try to fill that week or what you're looking to do during that open week?
We're absolutely trying to fill that week. And I can say Coach Chad Peckinpah, our athletic director, right, we've been working hard on that for 5 or 6 days now, and we don't have anything official to announce, but we're hopeful still. And as soon as we find something out officially, we'll let the people know. But if we don't find an opponent, then it'll end up being an off week, which unfortunately for us would be a home game, and that's something we don't want to lose. And, you know, our boys want to play. So we're going to work and do everything we can do to find an opponent that is suitable. You know, you could say go find a 5A or 6A. Well, that's not a suitable opponent, right? We got to find a suitable opponent. And we're not going to be the only school in this boat. So if we can find one, we'll be lucky. And, you know, right now I told the boys that we'll know by next Saturday. So right now our focus will be on Central. And then if it ends up being an off week, well, then that's a chance for us to heal up a little bit and improve, get our bye week, so to speak, like the NFL takes.
Well, we look forward to covering that game next week on Hoosier Land TV as our game of the week. It'll be at Clinton Central, Clinton Prairie, and Clinton Central in the Corn Bowl next week. Coach, we really appreciate you coming on. Congratulations on the win last night against Frankfurt, and good luck next week against Clinton Central.
Well, we certainly appreciate your guys' coverage, and you know, we'll be excited, and we'll see you there next Friday night.
Sounds good to us.
Thank you, Coach.
Head coach Kurt Schlicker with Clinton Prairie Gate. They got the win over Frankfort yesterday, 50-0, and they'll be taking on another county rival in Clinton Central next week. We'll be there for that game, and boy, are we excited for that game. Last year, it was a fantastic finish in that one, 28-26, the final. Clinton Central had the lead late in the game, and fourth and five for Clinton Prairie. They threw up a big play. Alex King came down with the reception, and then Hunter Cooper ran it in for the game-winning score. So if it's anything like that game, boy, are we in for a treat.
We're hoping for a really good game. We hope that people travel to the game, get that tailgating going. So much talking about tailgating, starting to make one get hungry a little bit. But if you can't make it to the game, definitely tune in on HoosierLandTV.com. We really appreciate your viewership, your patronage, and just tuning in.
There we go. And last week, I have to give props to Kyle. He got the pick right on the our college football pick in the
A broken clock is right twice a day. I always go with that one.
He picked Iowa State. They were able to take down Kansas State. So for this week's pick, let's go with the Texas-Ohio State game. I am going to go, I hate to say this, but I am going to go with Ohio State. After they beat my Irish in the championship game, I can't pick against them now. So I'm going with Ohio State. Who are you going with?
My best friend is a Buckeye fan, born and raised in Marion, Ohio, home of the Marion Presidents. I'm going with the Hook'em Horns. I'm going with Texas.
There you go.
I will never pick Ohio State.
So that is our official picks for college football slate today. Thanks for tuning in to Inside the Huddle. We want to say thank you to Winsky Brothers, and Kyle is going to be enjoying some Indiana football later on today.
I wrote this down just for you, Jamie. It's all for you. Go Hoosiers.
Thanks for tuning in to Inside the Huddle. If you missed any part of today's episode, you can watch on HoosierLandTV.com. It'll be archived for your later viewing. It'll also be available on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com under the Inside the Huddle tab and on Spotify at Inside the Huddle and Casper Media. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with another edition of Inside the Huddle. For Kyle Etherington, I'm Sam Wirt, saying so long, everybody.